swimming pool. Mr. Jurgensen, at what point did you become aware that the Iranian government was threatening to violate UN Resolution 216 and the Non-Proliferation Protocol to the 1956 Geneva Accords? Roger sweats under the hot lights. His heartbeat accelerates.
I'm not sure I understand the question, sir.
I asked you a direct question. Which part don't you understand? I'm going to repeat myself slowly. When did you realize that the Iranian government was threatening to violate Resolution 216 and the 1956 Geneva Accords on nuclear proliferation? Roger shakes his head. It's like a bad dream, unseen insects buzzing ferociously around him.
Sir, I had no direct dealings with the Iranian government. All I know is that I was asked to carry messages to and from a guy called Mehmet, who, I was told, knew something about our hostages in Beirut. My understanding is that the colonel has been conducting secret negotiations with this gentleman or his backers for some time, a couple of years now. Mehmet made allusions to parties in the Iranian administration, but I have no way of knowing if he was telling the truth, and I never saw any diplomatic credentials.
There is an inquisition of dark-suited congressmen opposite him, like a jury of teachers sitting in judgment over an errant pupil. The trouble is, these teachers can put him in front of a judge and send him to prison for many years, so that Jason really will grow up with a father who's a voice on the telephone, a father who isn't around to take him to air shows or ball games or any of the other rituals of growing up. They're talking to each other quietly, deciding on another line of questioning. Roger shifts uneasily in his chair. This is a closed hearing, the television camera a gesture in the direction of the congressional archives. A pack of hungry Democrats have scented Republican blood in the water. The congressman in the middle looks toward Roger.
Stop right there. Where did you know about this guy Mehmet from? Who told you to go see him, and who told you what he was?
Roger swallows.
I got a memo from Fawn, like always. Admiral Poindexter wanted a man on the spot to talk to this guy, a messenger, basically, who was already in the loop. Colonel North signed off on it and told me to charge the trip to his discretionary fund.
That must have been the wrong thing to say, because two of the congressmen are leaning together and whispering in each other's ears, and an aide obligingly sidles up to accept a note, then dashes away.
I was told that Mehmet was a mediator, Roger adds, in trying to resolve the Beirut hostage thing.
A mediator? The guy asking the questions looks at him in disbelief. The man to his left, who looks as old as the moon, thin white hair, liver spots on his hooked nose, eyelids like sacks, chuckles appreciatively.
Yeah, like Hitler was a diplomat. One more territorial demand.
He glances round.
Nobody else remember that?
He asks plaintively.
No, sir,
Roger says very seriously. The prime interrogator snorts.
What did Mehmet tell you Iran was going to do exactly?
Roger thinks for a moment.
He said they were going to buy something from a factory at Dimona. I understood this to be the Israeli Defense Ministry's Nuclear Weapons Research Institute, and the only logical item, in the context of our discussion, was a nuclear weapon. Or weapons. He said the Ayatollah had decreed that a suicide bomber who took out the temple of Yog-Sothoth in Basra would achieve paradise, and that they also had hard evidence that the Soviets had deployed certain illegal weapons systems in Afghanistan. This was in the context of discussing illegal weapons proliferation. He was very insistent about the Iraq thing.
What exactly are these weapons systems?
Demanded the third inquisitor, a quiet, hawk-faced man sitting on the left of the panel.
The Shogotim, they call them. Servitors. There are several kinds of advanced robotic systems made out of molecular components. They can change shape, restructure material at the atomic level, act like corrosive acid, or secrete diamonds. Some of them are like a tenuous mist, what Dr. Drexler at MIT calls a utility fog, while others are more like an oily globule. Apparently, they may be able to manufacture more of themselves, but they're not really alive in any meaning of the term we're familiar with. They're programmable, like robots, using a command language deduced from recovered records of the forerunners who left them here. The Molotov raid of 1930 brought back a large consignment of them. All we have to go on are the scraps they missed and reports by the Antarctic Survey. Professor Liebkunst's files in particular are most frustrating.
Stop. So you're saying the Russians have these, Shoggoths,
but we don't have any. And even those dumb Arab bastards in Baghdad are working on them. So you're saying we've got a Shoggoth gap? A strategic chink in our armor? And now the Iranians say the Russians are using them in Afghanistan?
Roger speaks rapidly.
That is minimally correct, sir, although countervailing weapons have been developed to reduce the risk of a unilateral preemption escalating to an exchange of weakly godlike agencies.
The congressman in the middle nods encouragingly.
For the past 3 decades, the B-39 Peacemaker Force has been tasked by SIOP with maintaining an XK-Pluto capability directed at ablating the ability of the Russians to activate Project Kosche, the dormant alien entity they captured from the Nazis at the end of the last war. We have 12 Pluto-class atomic-powered cruise missiles pointed at that thing, day and night, as many megatons as the entire Minuteman force. In principle, we will be able to blast it to pieces before it can be brought to full wakefulness and eat the minds of everyone within 200 miles.
He warms to his subject.
Secondly, we believe the Soviet control of Shoggoth technology is rudimentary at best. They know how to tell them to roll over an Afghan hill farmer village, but they can't manufacture more of them. Their utility as weapons is limited, but terrifying. But they're not much of a problem. A greater issue is the temple in Basra. This contains an operational gateway, and according to Mehmet, the Iraqi political secret police, the Mukhabarat, are trying to figure out how to manipulate it. They're trying to summon something through it. He seemed to be mostly afraid that they, and the Russians, would lose control of whatever it was, presumably another weakly godlike creature like the Cthulhu entity at the core of Project Kosche.
The old guy speaks.
This Fulu thing, boy. You can drop those stupid K prefixes around me. Is it one of a kind?
Roger shakes his head.
I don't know, sir. We know the gateway's linked to at least 3 other planets. There may be many that we don't know of. We don't know how to create them or close them. All we can do is send people through, or pile bricks in the opening.
He nearly bites his tongue, because there are more than 3 worlds out there, and he's been to at least one of them. The bolt hole on XK Masada, built by the NRO from their secret budget. He's seen the mile-high dome Buckminster Fuller spent his last decade designing for them, the rings of Patriot air defense missiles. A squadron of black diamond-shaped fighters from the Skunk Works, said to be invisible to radar, patrols the empty skies of XK Masada. Hydroponic farms and empty barracks and apartment blocks await the senators and congressmen and their families and thousands of support personnel. In event of war, they'll be evacuated through the small gate that has been moved to the executive office building basement, in a room beneath the swimming pool where Jack used to go skinny dipping with Marilyn.
Off the record now.
The old congressman waves his hand in a chopping gesture.
I say off, boy.
The cameraman switches off his machine and leaves. He leans forward toward Roger.
What you're telling me is, we've been waging a secret war since when? The end of the Second World War? Earlier, the Pabodi Antarctic Expedition in the 20s, whose survivors brought back the first of these alien relics. And now the Iranians have gotten into the game and figure it's part of their fight with Saddam.
Sir.
Roger barely trusts himself to do more than nod.
Well.
The congressman eyes his neighbor sharply.
Let me put it to you that you have heard the phrase, the Great Filter. What does it mean to you?
The Great...
Roger stops. Professor Gould, he thinks.
We had a professor of paleontology lecture us, he explains. I think he mentioned it. Something about why there aren't any aliens and flying saucers buzzing us the whole time.
The congressman snorts. His neighbor starts and sits up.
Thanks to Pabodi and his followers, Liebkunst and the like, we know there's a lot of life in the universe. The Great Filter, boy, is whatever force stops most of it developing intelligence and coming to visit. Something, somehow, kills intelligent species before they develop this kind of technology for themselves. How about meddling with relics of the Elder Ones? What do you think of that?
Roger licks his lips nervously.
That sounds like a good possibility, sir, he says.
His unease is building. The congressman's expression is intense.
These weapons your colonel is dicking around with make all our nukes look like a toy bow and arrow. And all you can say is,
It's a good possibility, sir? Seems to me like someone in the Oval Office has been asleep at the switch.
Sir, Executive Order 2047, issued January 1980, directed the armed forces to standardize on nuclear weapons to fill the mass destruction role. All other items were to be developmentally suspended, with surplus stocks allocated to the supervision of Admiral Poindexter's Joint Munitions Expenditure Committee, which Colonel North was detached to by the USMC High Command, with the full cognizance of the White House. The door opens. The congressman looks round angrily.
I thought I said we weren't to be disturbed.
The aide standing there looks uncertain.
Sir, there's been an, major security incident, and we need to evacuate.
Where? What happened?
Demands the congressman. But Roger, with a sinking feeling, realizes that the aide isn't watching the House committee members, and the guy behind him is Secret Service.
Basra, there's been an attack, sir.
A furtive glance at Roger, as his brain freezes in denial.
If you'd all please come this way.